Satan can be overcome in his accusatory, denunciatory posture toward believers. Number one is the blood of the Lamb. Now remember in Egypt, the blood was applied to the doorpost in the form of a cross, the lintels and the doorpost, and the blood of the Lamb that covered that house protected the household. And in the same manner, God will bless your home, your marriage, your family, your life. Not because you're a good person, not because you pray 2 hours a day, but because of the blood of the Lamb.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His word. Make a connection.
Today in The Connection, we continue to examine the life of Job with Skip Heitzig in our new series, Job Meets Jesus. In the popular movie, The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy and her friends finally make it to the Kingdom of Oz and meet the wizard himself. And they soon discover the great wizard is just a normal man. All along, something different was going on behind the scenes. Well, on today's broadcast, Skip reveals a similar situation in our lives as he pulls back the curtain of the visible world. But before we get started today, here's how Skip wants to help you encounter Jesus in a new way this year.
Did you know that Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father"? That means that when Jesus spoke to and healed the hurts of men, women, and children, you're seeing a God who is deeply invested in the everyday lives of people like you and me. Now, fall in love with that God all over again with this month's Connection Resource Package from Skip Heitzig. In Pastor Skip's book, Encounter, you'll learn how to cultivate a deeper relationship with Christ by looking at the lives of those who came face to face with Him. You'll also get folk rock band Wren Collective's album, The Art of Celebration, and an exclusive DVD interview with Skip and several Wren Collective members, including Gareth Gilkison, who talks about maintaining that everyday relationship with the Lord.
We believe that worship and our faith is meant to be part of our normal everyday lives. It's not something that's for our holy part, but it's for everything.
This entire resource package is yours for any donation amount. So call us today at 1-800-922-1888 or order at connectiononline.org/offers.
And we're sure thankful to hear from our listeners about how this ministry has helped renew their passion for God's Word. So if you have a story to share, or you have a prayer request or praise report, just email us at mystory@connectiononline.org or write to us here at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. You know, behind the scenes of the world we live in, there is a spiritual war waging in the supernatural realm. We're going to learn more about that in today's study. So grab your Bible and join us right here on The Connection.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His word. Make a connection.
Today, we'll look at the book of Job, chapters 1 and 2. We'll also be in Revelation chapter 12. So as you find those places in your Bible, let's join Skip Heitzig for the start of our study.
Let's look at the critic of this godly man. After God boasts of him in verse 8, look at verse 9. And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and around his household, around all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Look at chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" And so Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." Now here it is again. The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. And he still holds fast to his integrity, although you have incited me against him to destroy him without cause." So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face." We've read now a few times the name Satan. The word Satan means enemy, adversary, because he is your enemy. Now, by the way, that's the relationship that you want with him. You'd rather have him as your enemy and not your friend. There's a lot of people, they're friends with the devil, they don't know it, but because they have rejected Christ, they're on his team. So if you're going to have any relationship with the devil, with Satan at all, it's to be his enemy. And that's what Satan means, adversary or enemy. Sometimes in Scripture, he's called devil. And the term devil means accuser or slanderer or defamer. Satan appears in Genesis 3, and we find him go throughout the Scripture until finally his career will end in Revelation chapter 20. Now, I realize in reading what I just read that not everyone can read this without flinching. What I mean by that is they don't believe in a literal devil. They read Satan, they read about the devil, but they don't actually believe there is a person in existence today that is really Satan. According to the Gallup poll organization, 70% of Americans believe in the devil. But only half of that 70% say that he is a personal being. The other half say he's just a symbol or an impersonal being. Now listen to this. George Barna, who researches mostly church stuff, made a statement and asked people agree or disagree somewhat or completely. Here's the statement. "The devil is not a living being, but rather just a symbol of evil. Of those who claim to be born again, 32% strongly agreed with that statement." That's a shock. 11% agreed somewhat, 5% said they don't know, and 48% either agree that Satan is symbolic or they don't know. That's the total composite. It's like the six-year-old boy that struggled with this whole devil thing, and he was having a conversation with his buddy, and he said, "I don't believe there's a real devil." And his friend said, "You don't? Well, there is. The Bible talks about him all the way through." And he said, "Yeah, but he's not really real. It's like Santa Claus. He turns out to be your dad." Dads don't like that. But when Jesus spoke of the devil or Satan or the wicked one, all of those terms were employed by our Lord. He spoke of him as being a real person with real personality with an agenda. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning." I was there when it happened, Jesus said. Jesus spoke of Satan's work against the gospel. In Mark chapter 4, he said, "The word is sown," that is the scripture, "the truth is sown, and as soon as people hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." I love the simplicity of Dwight Lyman Moody, the pastor in Chicago, years ago, of course. He said, "I believe in the devil for two reasons. Number one, the Bible says he's real. Number two, I've done business with him. I've done business with him." There is obviously evil in the world. If there is no devil, pray tell, who's doing his work? Something is going on. Now, look back at verse 8 and notice a word. It appears twice in our text. "Have you considered my servant Job?" And then chapter 2, verse 3, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Now, what got my attention in that verse is what it says in the margin of my Bible. In the margin of my Bible, it says, it's literally written, "Have you set your heart on my servant Job?" In other words, it's a rhetorical question. You've been eyeing my servant Job, Satan, haven't you? fact, I discovered the word that is used here is sometimes used as a military word for a general who studies the defenses of a city to lay siege to it. You see, Satan has been studying Job with a keen eye, looking for weak points so he could attack him. That is his M.O. That is his M.O. Jesus once said to Peter in Luke chapter 22, "Simon, Satan has been asking for you that he might sift you like wheat." Boy, if I was Simon Peter, I'd stop dead in my tracks. And I'd immediately say, "Well, what'd you tell him?" Satan has been asking for you, Peter. He has an agenda against you. He wants to sift you like wheat. Listen to it in another translation. Satan has asked excessively that you be taken out of the care and protection of God, that he might sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. That's the best news yet, but I have prayed for you. So far, there are five truths we can understand now about Satan and this problem that Job is having. Number one, Satan actively studies people, either Satan or his minions. He's got a network of lots of them. They seem to actively study us, which is an unnerving thought. You ever been in a restaurant and you discover that person in that booth across has been staring at you the whole time? It's like, what's up with that? They are staring. They are studying. Truth number two, Satan is still accountable to God. Notice he appears here with the other sons of God, a term for angelic beings, and he appears to give an account. Truth number three, Satan operates, but he operates within strict parameters. Everything that he does, he is permitted to do. He has to get God's permission in order to do it. He checks in, there's an accountability, and then there are strict parameters by which he operates. Remember in Matthew chapter 8, the demons that were in the demon-possessed man, and they see Jesus, and the demons cried out when they saw Jesus and said, permit us to go into the herd of swine. And it says Jesus permitted them. So let me just, without getting bogged down on this, say this. If God, for whatever reason, is in God's sovereign mind and care, if God permits you to be hassled or tried in the fire of affliction, even by the enemy, know this, he has his eye on you and his finger on the thermostat. He has not walked away from the oven and forgotten about you. I've been in here too long. He knows. Fourth truth that we can discover so far, Satan has access to both earth and heaven. Did you see that? He's been walking to and fro throughout the earth. He appears before God with the other sons of God. Now that shocks a lot of people. Here's the shocker. Satan is not in hell. He has never been in hell. He will one day, and when he gets there, by the way, he's not going to be like the chief celebrity. He's going to be the chief tormented one. And in fact, the Bible tells us that he will be tormented, Revelation 20, tormented day and night forever. So he's not going to be in charge of anything like the stupid characters or cartoons play him out to be. He'll be the chief victim. And truth number five, he spends a lot of time accusing us, God's people, before the throne of God. In fact, in Revelation 12, he is called the accuser of our brethren. The accuser of our brethren. In Zechariah, it's a great book in the Old Testament where Zechariah receives eight visions about the future of Jerusalem and the security of that city. And in chapter 3, he gets a vision where there's Joshua the high priest, who is at that time. And it says, Joshua the high priest was standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan was standing at his right side to accuse him. Now, I know what the answer is going to be, but have you ever heard those accusations? Have you ever heard those thoughts that come into your mind? You call yourself a Christian. How can you go to church tonight? Look at you. You've heard those thoughts. You think God's going to hear your prayer now? You know, he's really a creep. He's really insidious. Because he comes and before we sin, he tempts us and he says, go ahead, you'll get away with it. And then if we succumb to that temptation and we sin, then he comes and he accuses us and says, you'll never get away with this. He's that insidious. Now let's look at the criticism again. Verse 9, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and around his household and all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands and his possessions have increased in the land. Hey, God, Job never had it so good. You pamper him. You treat him with favoritism. The accusation that Job brings, or Satan brings against Job, is that Job's service of God and goodness toward God is all mercenary. Job is a mercenary. The only reason Job serves God is because of what he gets out of God. And so the real issue that Job or Satan brings up in Job is it possible to love God apart from God's blessings? And Satan would say, nope. Take those blessings away, take away his wealth, take away his children, take away his health, and he will not only doubt you, he will curse you because people only follow you for what they can get out of you. That's the accusation. Now let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. Let's move from Job to Jesus. We'll do it quickly. Revelation chapter 12 is in the middle of the tribulation period, yet future. And there is a breed of people called the overcomers in this book. Let's see how Jesus answers Job. Satan has always been a liar, always been a hassler, always been an accuser. He did it all the way through history to Adam, to Job, to Joshua the high priest, to our Lord Jesus Christ, etc. His activity was once focused in heaven in a great rebellion. We find out in Revelation 12, this is without reading the whole chapter. A third of the angels fell with Satan. So he's got help. And that usually is where people focus. There's a lot of demons out there. But think about it. One third fell, that means two thirds are left. They're outnumbered. But Satan fell from heaven. Now his activity is confined to the earthly realms. Now let's see how these tribulation saints overcome him. Chapter 12, verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. And here's the key verse. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and that they did not love their lives to the death. Satan can be overcome in his accusatory, denunciatory posture toward believers. Number one is the blood of the Lamb. Now remember in Egypt, the blood was applied to the doorpost in the form of a cross, the lintels and the doorpost, and the blood of the Lamb that covered that house protected the household. And in the same manner, God will bless your home, your marriage, your family, your life, not because you're a good person, not because you pray 2 hours a day, but because of the blood of the Lamb. That's how you overcome him. In 1 John chapter 2, it says, if anyone sins, anybody raise your hand on that one? Does anybody here ever sin? If anyone sins, you that didn't raise your hand, we're going to get you. We have another sermon for you. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Advocate means lawyer. So here's Jesus and here's Satan. Satan is the, Jesus is our defense attorney. Satan is the prosecuting attorney. And Satan is condemning you and me constantly before the throne of God. But here is Jesus Christ, the defense attorney. And what would our defense attorney have us do? Fight the devil, yell at the devil, rebuke the devil for being so rude in his accusations? No. You know why? Because they're all true. That's why. All of the accusations Satan would make about you before God are true. You really don't deserve God's love, nor do I. We are really messed up. So Jesus said something interesting in Matthew 5. He said, agree with your adversary. It's a brilliant strategy. So when Satan condemns you, don't retort back and say, well, I didn't mean to do it. I'm really not a bad person at heart. No, I think you say something like, he's right. In fact, there's a lot more stuff on me he doesn't know about because he doesn't read my thoughts, my mind. But the depth of sin that is in me, as described in the Bible, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? I'm even worse than he's probably accusing me of before the throne of God. He's absolutely right. But the blood of my defense attorney has cleansed me from it. So it's not anything I've done. It's not any righteousness I have. It's all about the blood. That's why it says in Romans chapter 8, God did not spare his son, but freely gave him up for us. And then it says, the next verse, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Because of the blood. Because of the blood. Charles Spurgeon was right. Nothing provokes the devil like the cross. That's why it mystifies me when churches today want to despiritualize their worship and take away the songs that talk about the blood of Jesus because it's going to turn people off. You have no gospel. You have no defense. You have no offense. You have no standing without the blood of Jesus Christ. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. There's a beautiful old hymn. I hear the accuser roar of ills that I have done. I know them well and thousands more. Jehovah findeth none. Yeah, all those accusations, they're actually right. I wouldn't like argue on that. I just agree with it. Say, but the blood of my attorney, my advocate, Jesus Christ, is enough. You overcome him first by the blood applied to your life.
You know, despite all of Satan's efforts to wreak havoc in our lives, he's actually powerless against our God who reigns on the throne. And I hope you found this message encouraging today. Remember, because the blood of Christ covers you and cleanses you from sin, the accuser of God's children stands no chance of taking over your life. That's all the time we have for today. But before we leave, Skip is in studio today and maybe give us some advice on how to withstand the enemy's attack, Skip.
You know, it says we're not ignorant of his devices, Paul said. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people are. If you're not familiar with the Bible, you're going to be ignorant of Satan's devices. If you're familiar with the Bible, you won't be, because he kind of does the same thing over and over and over again. Taylor makes his same old schemes for each new generation. But it's important to know who your enemy is. If you don't identify your enemy, or if you deny that your enemy exists, well, then he's going to win, isn't he? I mean, he's already got you at his advantage, and you're at a disadvantage if you either deny his existence or don't know how he's going to operate. But if you do know his operations, then in the heat of the battle, you'll know where to get the resources from as well, and you'll know how to counter the devil when you examine, for instance, the fall of man in the garden, or the fight that Jesus had, the argument, the discussion he had at the beginning of his ministry when he was tempted by the devil. Look and examine how our Lord dealt with the devil, or how Job and God wrestled with that whole issue of the man behind the curtain, and what helped and what didn't help. And so we'll not only find what the devices of our enemy are, but the strength of our commanding officer in giving us resources.
Well, thanks, Skip, for that good word on standing strong in our faith. And if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, The Man Behind the Curtain, just visit connectiononline.org/radio or call us today. That's 1-800-922-1888. You can order today's message on CD for just $6. And when you call, be sure to ask how you can access the entire Job Meets Jesus series for your home listening library. We're sure incredibly blessed when we hear from our listeners who have grown in their spiritual walk because of this ministry. And you can be part of this work when you partner with us. Just visit connectiononline.org/give to do that. Now, tomorrow, we'll continue our series, Job Meets Jesus, and examine Job's profound question, how can a man be righteous before God? The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His word. Make a connection. A connection. A connection.
Connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.